And we're off. Well, it's been said several times this morning already, but happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Yeah, never thought too much of Father's Day. That's always a nice day. It was pretty much like Mother's Day, but more organized, right? Because Mom took care of it. You know, Mother's Day was kind of always held together with glue and hope, but it all came off. But I guess I always liked Father's Day. It was easy day to like, I think. It was also easy because in our case, Father's Day was almost always within a week of my dad's birthday, so it was really easy to double up on gifts. Still do that. Usually it was around the same time that we would we'd often have spent the previous week at camp, and I always get a roll of shock tarts from canteen and save it, because that was Dad's favorite. But one thing I like about Father's Day is it kind of helps us, at least for me, lets me celebrate part of who I am. One thing that Father's Day reminds me of is I am one of seven generations of Charles Pratts. Here's my favorite picture of myself with my dad and my grandpa. Rachel's favorite is actually a series of photos that were taken within a 24-hour period around Thanksgiving, all of us striking very similar pose. Father's Day was always a good day. Like I said, it reminds me of who I am. Let's us celebrate our dad. But as I got older, I learned that there were others who felt differently about Father's Day. And they felt differently about it because it also reminded them something about who they are or where they come from. People for whom father is not a positive thing to remember. Where this really became something that that struck me was I spent a little bit of time doing some work at Schultz Lewis Children's Home. And one of the things they told us as they were preparing us for the week, particularly the few of us that were going to be speaking at their daily chapel, one of the things they told us is don't talk about God as Father in your lessons. So, because that's not a positive association here. They said many of the kids at Schultz Lewis there don't think of Father as a good thing. And so when you talk about God as Father, that makes it harder to talk about God. Something that never had occurred to me. I always thought of that association as a positive thing. Right? But it's not that way for everyone. And that realization that week stuck with me for a while. It affected me for a few years. Having that thought in my head, I kind of avoided this, avoided talking about God as Father in classes that I taught or lessons that I put together. The only times we talk about it were in forms of warning, similar to what I had heard Schultz Lewis. I remember being a part of a drama group at Rochester, and we wrote a skit around this idea of the ways that we think of God the Father and how some of our human examples have harmed that. And we did this silly talk show where we impersonated celebrity fathers. And the point was maybe instead of thinking of God like our fathers. Maybe our fathers should act more like God. It was well-intentioned. I think it had a decent message, but I can really see as I look back, I had taken on this poor view of that God-Father connection. It always became a warning. But then a few years after that, I got another new perspective. I was in a ministry class, and the professor was talking about the idea of God and Father, and he said, one thing that sticks with him is that he has had a good father. And there were things that his father would not do that he, for that reason, can't imagine God doing. Right? He says, God is at least as good as my father, and I've got a good father. And I liked that. That made a lot of sense. I could understand that. And it made me think about this idea that's found in Matthew 7. This is the famous ask, seek, knock. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. That's the familiar part. That's, you know, makes a nice song. But it goes on to say, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God is at least as good as your father. It would have been a little easier if Jesus had left out the you are evil statement on there. It puts you on defense a little bit. But we get the idea is when we think about God as Father, we don't drag God down to our level. We say, if there are things that we wouldn't do for our kids, can't we figure God is at least that good? And like I said, it's allowed me to think positively again on this subject. And it's been fun this week thinking about this idea and thinking about some of the stories about my dad. You showed up on Father's Day when your son's preaching. You should have seen some of this coming. One story in particular really made me think about this. I don't know if I've shared this. I wasn't baptized until I was 16. It's not because I wasn't familiar with church stuff. I was, all my life. And I wanted to make sure that I was ready, and that when I made the decision, it would be a life-changing decision. And my parents were ready for me to be baptized far sooner than I was. And they let me know about it. And especially, my dad, he would find any opportunity to turn a conversation that had nothing to do with baptism into a conversation about baptism, and he kind of ride it out and say, okay, I've got it. I know there was frustration there. Now, I could tell a lot of times, we've sat down and had this conversation, it worked for your brother, worked for your sister, what's your issue? But one thing I remember in particular is my dad preached one time. I don't know how that came about. I don't know if it was it was a Sunday night. I don't know if someone was really trying to fill the spots and twisted his arm. I don't know if he said, I'd like to do it. But I know that I was the only one he was preaching to that day. I remember that. I was sitting over on the side where all the teens sit. And he was looking over there pretty much the whole time. Especially when we got down to the end where he was saying, you know, pretty much all the stuff he said all the other times. But he was saying it again. I remember he was talking about Nicodemus. Kind of misreading it, but that's okay. And he was talking about, you know, if you know these things, then you should act on them. And I could tell even that day that my dad was only preaching that sermon to me. I thought it was kind of goofy. I understood it then. But this week, as I was thinking about some of these ideas, and you know, particularly this idea of God is at least as good as our dads, and allowing ourselves to understand God a little more by seeing our fathers, I thought of this. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? You know, as I think about it now, it was a special thing that nobody else in that room mattered, because my dad had a message for me. And our God looks at us the same way. Our God's at least, cares about us at least that much. And you know, on this same text, it was pointed out to me that when it talks about in the same way in heaven, it says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels, in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents. It was pointed out to me that this does not say that the angels are rejoicing. It says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. And he said, I don't know if this is exactly what it says, but the way I read this is God celebrating. This is God getting the party started over one of his kids. And so I come back to this idea of, as fathers, there is a very significant and important connection that we share to God. We share a title. And this isn't meant to be a warning, but a reminder of the tremendous honor and responsibility for fathers to share that name. That as we carry the name of Father, we show others something about God. And this kind of idea, this is not limited to fathers. We've talked a few times, the last couple times I was up here preaching, talk about the idea of imitating God, about be holy as I am holy, and change that somehow to be awesome. And yeah, okay. You might remember that. But this idea of we show God by the way that we act. And Father is not the only title that we give to God. Father is not the only way that we describe God. It's an important one for some of us. But we also say God is love. And when you say God is love, when you say I love because God loves, we go to 1 John 4 here and say love one another, for love is from God. Are you representing God through the way you show love to those around you? It is an honor to say, I love because God has loved me, but it's also a big deal. It is a big responsibility. God forgives. God forgives and doesn't keep a record of that wrong, right? We forgive. Do we forgive the way God forgives? Are we taking seriously this idea of imitating God? And are we recognizing that we teach the people around us who God is by the way that we do these same things that God does. Being made in God's image and being filled with God's Spirit allows us a tremendous opportunity to show God in the way that we live our lives. We have the ability to teach others about God's love through more than just our words. Or it allows us to give others an easy excuse to walk away. Well, if that's what their God is like, well, if being like their God looks like that. And we're not always going to get it right. Amen, dads. We're not always going to get it right. We don't have to pretend that we do. But we do need to decide if we're going to live in a way that honors and exalts our God, our Heavenly Father, or in a way that brings dishonor on His holy name by being associated with our poor example. Dads, are you living up to that title? Will your example cause your kids to have greater appreciation for their Heavenly Father? I mean, I know that as my boys grow up and I talk to them about committing their lives to Christ, and I tell them about how their confession and baptism can change their lives for the better, I want them to be able to see that positive change in me. I want my example to be able to bring them closer to God, not get in the way. Now, kids are definitely capable of rising above our examples, thank goodness. But I pray that we can make it easier for them and not harder. And church, are we loving like God, forgiving like He forgives? Are we caring about the things that God cares about? We bear the name of Christ. When we say we are Christians, we carry that name to the world. We are a part of God's family. Are we representing that name well? It's a question we should always be asking ourselves. And so this morning, before we spend a holiday with family and friends, let's take some time to remind each other just how special God made us, about how much God has loved us, how we are blessed to be called His children. And if you haven't been living up to that name, if there's something that has been weighing on your heart, if you need to be lifted up by your family here, this is a good time for that. This is a place for that. You're not alone here. You don't have to be. And if you want to be that example and lead others to Jesus, but you haven't yet confessed and been baptized, you can't lead anyone somewhere that you've never been, right? And so what better time than now? Let's give God something to party about on this Father's Day. If there's anything that we can do this morning, let us know as we stand and sing.
Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus.